Hebrews. The easiest way to find it is to go to the book of Philemon. You might find Philemon really quickly. No, it's in the Bible, I promise you. Book of Hebrews, open in the New Testament, almost towards the back is where we're going to be this morning. It's kind of an interesting place to start as we reflect on Christmas, as we think about it on Christmas, the week of Christmas, if you will. But you'll begin to understand that the book of Hebrews tells us who Jesus is and what he was going to be. And we begin to realize more and more about the great gift that was given to us through Jesus. This week, I was reminded, some of you may know this, our church has been a part of a study through Southern Seminary. And it's not because your pastor's a lunatic. I mean, that could have something to do with it. But we've been a part of a study through Southern Seminary, which is in Louisville, Kentucky, over the past 6 months. And so I had a conversation with one of the people doing the research and asking questions about who we were as a church. And I finally had to ask him, I said, why did you pick here? Our church, this is to your credit, our church was in the top 2% per capita this past year in baptisms across the entire Southern Baptist Convention. And he asked why. And I said, well, I promise you it has nothing to do with the preaching. I told him it has to do with the people. You see, I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that the church is about Jesus. And Jesus is what brings us together as a body to go from this place and to love our community and to serve those around us. You know, and as I thought about that interview this week, I want to share with you this morning that you are one of the greatest gifts in my life. That each Sunday, you give me the gift to come and to stand here and to have the opportunity to share what God's laid on my heart. And Ward said it well, you are my family. This is a place not only that I come to each Sunday, but that I enjoy being a part of. That you are my friends, you are people that I spend time with, and that is a tremendous blessing. I get to talk to pastors across our state and one of the positions I serve in, and I can tell you many of them stand in their pulpit this morning in difficult situations. And I am blessed to tell you that it is a privilege to stand, to be given the gift, to come and to share this time with you each and every Sunday. You see, that's what makes church, church. It's a people coming together, recognizing that none of us are perfect, and that all of us need Jesus. And that's why we can celebrate this morning, this great gift given to us during the Christmas season. You know, as we focus on Christmas, I think it's interesting that for many of us, we don't talk a whole lot about the Christmas story outside of the Christmas season. But, you know, we think this morning, I want us to look again in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 2, if you're not familiar with the book of Hebrews, it's an interesting text that kind of comes in a unique place in the Bible. The book of Hebrews is written to the Israelite people to tell them about who Jesus is. You see, for the Hebrews at that time, at that place, they didn't believe Jesus. Many of them still today don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But the book of Hebrews was written specifically to those who knew the traditions, who knew the stories, who had celebrated the holidays, but missed Jesus in the midst of it. You see, when I asked the children maybe a gift that they just really, really, really wanted, did you ever have one of those gifts? Did you ever have a gift that you remember looking back in your life and you that if you got that gift, it would change your life? Did you ever have one of those gifts? Sad childhood. Like, everybody's... Did any of you get Christmas gifts? Yeah, a few of you got Christmas gifts. Maybe you were on the naughty list like me and you didn't get very many. You know, I can remember there was a point in time that this gift, I had just wanted it. I had watched it. I mean, you remember walking down the Walmart aisle, for those of you that ever went to Walmart, or maybe whatever store it was. I can remember walking down, now, a few of you will know this name, Woolworth. Anybody ever heard of Woolworth? Yeah. So there was a Woolworth in Perryton, Texas, and I can remember walking these aisles and looking at the toys and dreaming about these toys. And I remember I just knew I was going to get this thing I'd asked for. And it was going to change my life. And you know what? That Christmas, I opened up my boxes, and that gift wasn't there. Apparently, my skills of suggestion were not very good. I don't know. But, you know, over time, I began to understand that it really wasn't that gift that I was disappointed in. You know, for many of us, we have the wrong idea about what a gift should look like. Over time, I began to understand, and I think I've joked about this a number of times, and for whatever reason, this memory's come back a number of times over this season. Growing up at our house, we'd go to my grandparents' house, all the kids got socks and underwear. Now, as a grown adult, that would be awesome if I got socks. Like, I need socks. Socks are a really practical gift. But I remember as a child thinking, man, this is useless. I don't want socks. I mean, you get socks for Christmas? I mean, that's a bummer. But I began to understand that sometimes it's not necessarily the gift, but it's what's behind the gift. And I think our attention so often is on the wrong things when we use that word. So many had missed the gift of Jesus. The book of Hebrews, as I mentioned, falls a little bit later into the New Testament. And many people had missed the gift of Jesus. You see, in our culture, it's been described as a post-Christian world. We can look around and you can look at our society and we no longer live in a Christian world. I mean, if you turn on the news, it's not hard to see that we have moved beyond Christian values, morality, or even common sense, to be honest with you. But the reality is that I think so often we kind of think we've moved beyond that gift, that it's not important. But the writer of Hebrews helps us to take a minute. And as we celebrate Christmas this week, to bring our attention back to this gift worth grasping, that we need to take a minute, we need to realize that it's not about just what we want. You know, sometimes you get what you want, but it's not always what you need, right? I think there's a song about that. That song. There you go. Can't always get what you want. Go home and listen to it. Just don't tell anybody your preacher told you to listen to Rolling Stones in church. Yeah, well, I just said it on the internet, so it's fine. Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 5. I want to read verses 5 through 18 for us this morning. I want to take some time and break down the story of the gift, reminding us who Jesus is and why the gift was given to us. Starting in verse 5, it says this. For he was not subject to angels, the world to come that we are talking about. But one has somewhere testified, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him lower than the angels for a short time. You crowned him with glory and honor and subjected everything under his feet. For in subjecting everything to him, he left nothing subject to him. As it is, we do not yet see everything subjected to him. But we see Jesus, made lower than the angels for a short time, so that by God's grace he might taste the death for everyone, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. For it was fitting, in bringing many sons to glory, that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, should make the source of their salvation perfect through suffering. For one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I proclaim your name to my brothers. I will sing hymns to you in the congregation. Again, I will trust in him. And again, here I am with children God gave me. Verse 14. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, he also shared in these, so that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who have been held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For it is clear that he does not reach out to help angels, but to help Abraham's offspring. Therefore, he had to be like his brothers in every way, so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tested and suffered, he is able to help all those who are tested. I'm reminded in these verses of a well-known verse, the verse we talk about often, John 3:16. Does anybody know that verse?
Yeah, we know
that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, that's the greatest gift that we have been given. But so often we think as if we have moved beyond it. Maybe it's because of the culture we live in. Maybe it's because of the society, the amount of intelligence and information that we can access at the snap of a finger. But you see, I think we need to take a minute this morning. And as we read the writer of Hebrews, as he reminds us of what Jesus came and did for us, that Jesus came, he lived a life here on earth, and that's significant. God didn't just come down one day and say, okay, your sins are forgiven. No, Jesus came. He was born of Mary. He lived a life. He walked. He worked. He suffered. He endured. He got thirsty. He got hungry. He understood what it meant to hurt. He understood what it meant to be tempted. He understood all of the things that you and I go through. And then he gave his life for us. John 3:16 is this tremendous reminder of the gift that was given us. That for God loved you so much that he gave you the greatest gift possible. See, oftentimes, in fact, I've had a number of conversations this week where individuals will say, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody's hurt like I hurt. Nobody feels like I feel. Nobody understands where I've been. See, Jesus has. See, sometimes we move beyond that reality. That the gift that we're given, oftentimes we look at this story of Christmas and we think, well, it just seems too small. But in a simple way, God revealed to us a gift of hope. God revealed to us a gift of life. You see, let me give you this morning a few qualifications, if you will, of why this gift mattered so much. The writer of Hebrews, if you remember, will be writing to the Hebrew people, and he appealed to individuals, speaking to their culture, understanding what they would have gone through. Now, he makes a reference about a supreme high priest. The high priest was an individual appointed by the nation to be the intermediary between God and the people. See, now we have the Holy Spirit. We no longer need that. God has given us his Son so that we can understand and go to God with our needs. But the high priest's role was to stand in place for the people's sins. Now that's significant, isn't it? You see, that gift of the supreme high priest was one who would come and would stand in the place of everyone's sin. He would stand in the place of my sin, and he would stand in the place of your sin. So the first qualification we recognize about this high priest is that he must be one of the people. That Jesus, the supreme high priest, being referred to here in the book of Hebrews, had to be one of us. Now, we joke, I haven't lived in Montana that long, and maybe I don't have enough credibility to say this, but I recently had a conversation with a family member who wants to move to Montana, and I said, good luck. Now, the reason I say that, it's kind of an interesting thing, right? If you don't live in Montana, you can't really describe Montana. When everybody talks about wanting to move to Montana, what do they think of? They don't think of Shelby. I love Shelby, but I guarantee that's not the place, the postcard that they're referring to when they talk about Montana. They also don't factor in, like, the negative 60 wind chill and, like, 95-mile-an-hour winds and, you know, I mean, feet of snow. I mean, most animals are trying to kill you in our state. I mean, it's a really cool place. You know, but in reality, people don't balance that, right? But to be here, you kind of have to be one of the people. Why? So you can understand. So you can know what it's like to endure the things that we endure. And, you know, that's what Jesus did for us. He had to be one of the people. You see, God came in the flesh, and he didn't just come and say, listen, I'm God, you need to bow down to me because I said so. Now, as people in Montana, if somebody tells you to do something just because they say so, what do? Yeah. Make it. See, that's not what Jesus did he? He came and he lived a life. He set an example for us, not just in his birth, which was following to the prophecies that were proclaimed generations before. But Jesus came and he was one of the people. The second thing we find about Jesus is that the high priest, the supreme high priest, he had to be faithful in ministry. Not just living his life in front of people, but he had to be faithful to the calling that had been placed in his life. The third thing we recognize is that he had to be appointed by God. The high priest was not someone who earned that job. They were someone who was an intercessor for the people. Unfortunately, at this point in time, it had become more about politics than it had become about purity. You see, and that's an important definition, is that to become the high priest at this point in time, all it took was a good political standing. But you see, the high priest had to be purified. He had to be cleansed. If he was going to go and offer a sacrifice for the people, he had to go through a ritual of purification. Jesus didn't. Jesus stood for us, appointed by God, faithful in ministry, being one of the people, because he had to be cleansed from all sin. You see, the writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us that the greatest gift given to us was not a gift of mistake. It was a gift of purpose. It was oftentimes overlooked because it didn't match the scenario in which people expected. So let's take a few minutes. I want to break down a few of these verses we read in Hebrews chapter 2. As we first begin to recapture our lost destiny, if you will. You see, the Hebrew people had lost their way a number of times. They had become disillusioned. God had given them gifts. He had provided them things. And this morning, as we read out of the book of Numbers, and as we've looked over it the last couple of weeks in our Sunday school class, you look at the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel was really, they were just kind of a bunch of whiners. I mean, all they did was really kind of complain the majority of the Old Testament. But you know what? God kept giving them these gifts. He kept providing life for them. He kept giving them opportunities to hear and to accept. You see, I think for many of us, we need to take a step back and we need to remember that God has given us a destiny. He has given us a purpose, that he didn't leave us here all on our own, but he walks with us in the midst of those things. Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 5, tells us this: "For he has not subjected to angels the world to come that we are talking about. But he has someone where someone has testified, 'What is man that you remember him? The son of man that you care for him.'" You see, that comes out of the book of Psalm, chapter 8, verse 4. "What is the man that though thou rememberest him, or the son of man that thou art concerned about him?" You see, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that, you know, we didn't do anything to earn this. But God gave us this destiny. He gave us this purpose on his own accord. That recognition of the gift given to us is that really, what is it that we've done to deserve it? You know, I look back over my childhood, and I think back on those moments in time where I got upset maybe because I didn't get the gift I wanted. But if we're being honest, what had I done to deserve it? Nothing. You see, a gift is given not based on merit. A gift is given based on grace. If I gave my children only the gifts that I thought they deserved this Christmas, just venture to guess how many gifts you think I'd give my kids. Depends on this afternoon. We'll see what happens. I don't know. You know, if it was based on merit, if gift was based on merit, all of us would fall short. None of us would have the ability to earn the gift. But yet God remembers us. You see, the role of humanity is an interesting role. God gave it to us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, that we are to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and every living thing that moves upon the earth. That we had been given a great gift, that we had been given a call and a destiny and a purpose, yet so often we ignored that. The writer of Hebrews tells us in verse 9 of chapter 2, that same picture, telling us this: "But we do see Jesus made lower than the angels for a short time, so that by God's grace he might taste death for everyone, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death." You see, these three basic ideas come out of this verse: that man was created to have dominion over all things, that though sin insisted over its dominion, it was defeated. And the third thing, in this defeat, entered Jesus. His purpose came and gave us life. See, the traits of Jesus tell us the hope of the gift given to us. You look at verse 10, reminding us of this great gift. "For it was fitting in bringing many sons to glory, that he for whom and through whom all things exist should make the source of their salvation perfect through suffering. See, Jesus is talking about identification. It reminds us that this is our identity, that he has purchased us by his blood. You recognize in verse 10 that word sons. That word sons is not something that is thrown around lightly. Now, when I had a son, it was a unique moment. I think it's a unique moment for any parent when you have a child. But my son was different in a way. All of us know if you have sons or daughters. My son was different because I realized my son, one day I was going to give my daughter away. Her name would change. She would still be our flesh and blood, but my son was going to carry on my name. My son was going to carry on a legacy of who I was. You see, there's an identity that's given in the word son or daughter. There's a purpose given here, and the gift given to us, the reason we're called to grasp it, to take hold of it, is because the identity that was purchased for us by the blood of Jesus. You see, we identify this morning the idea not only of identity, but of compassion. You see, Jesus here extended compassion to us. You look in verse 18, for since he himself was tested and has suffered, he is able to those who are tested. You see, Jesus came and he has compassion on us. He gave us this gift because he knows what it means to hurt. He knows what it means to suffer. He knows what it means to struggle. And that word we read back in verse 10 reminds us that it is for salvation. The greatest gift given to us during this season is the gift of salvation. The hope that we have in Christ, that we have been, we experience our destiny, that we experience our trials, but we are released from bondage. Let's take a minute this morning and look at verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 tells us this, now since the children have flesh and blood in common, he has shared in these so that through his death, he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who are held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. You see, sin brings death. Sin brings death. And we need to be delivered from that death. You see, outside of Christ, there is no hope. During the Christmas season, we look at this gift, and so often we kind of just brush it off, and we remember Jesus came, and he was born in this way, and the Magi came, and you know, this different experience. But if Jesus hadn't come in the way that he came, at the time he came, he wouldn't have been able to experience and walk in the things that we walk through. His life produced for us, not just an example, but produced for us the hope of salvation. Knowing that we are sealed with Christ in this hope that we are one with him and have defeated sin through Christ. You see, isn't that the greatest gift? Verse 14 brings us back to the reality that his death destroyed the holding of sin over us. You see, this morning as we begin to conclude, I want to point out just a couple of things to us. As we remember the gifts that are given to us during this Christmas season, as we return the gifts to others that God has blessed us with, there are three things I want us to recognize out of the book of Hebrews chapter 2 as we reflect on the Christmas story from a different angle. The first is this, that only Jesus can save us. Only Jesus can save us. Jesus himself reminds us, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, church, I can tell you about this gift time and time and time again. But it's up to you to open it. It's up to you to recognize out of the words of Hebrews that Jesus came and he purchased your salvation through his death. That he walks where you walk. He knows where you hurt. You see, Jesus understands. Jesus understands the difficulties that we go through. Jesus understands what it means to suffer. And he did it for us. You see, only you can open that gift knowing that he has purchased your salvation. Only you can recognize that you don't stand alone, that Jesus stands with you, and that victory can be yours. See, church, that's what we have to celebrate this week. It's not just the birth of a baby, but that God sent His Son. He came in the flesh to show us how to live, to teach us what was right. And then He gave His life for us on the cross. And then He rose again on the third day. You see, that's the Christmas story. The victory of Christ. That His death purchased our freedom. You see, this morning, don't just brush over what Christmas truly is. Don't just focus on the gifts. Don't just focus on all the things that will be happening this week. But take time and remember the greatest gift that was given to you. And then share it. Maybe you don't know what that gift is. Come and talk to me. I want to help you understand more about what it means to follow Jesus. Maybe you've accepted that gift. You've opened that gift. Let me encourage you to take it and share it with someone during this Christmas season. There are few greater opportunities to tell people the story of Jesus than during Christmas. Invite them to come on the Christmas Eve service. We'll have an opportunity to hear the hope of Jesus in the midst of that service. Maybe this morning you just need to know that victory can be yours. Maybe you're walking through a dark and difficult time. Maybe you look at Christmas and say, I just really don't want to go through it. Know that Jesus understands and He walks with you in the midst of those things. As we conclude this morning, we're going to partake of